In Acts chapter 26, please, verses 12 to 19, for us to review again the story of God coming to Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 19. This scripture is one that's been on my heart for the last two or three weeks, because as I went to Sri Lanka, it was the scripture that I felt on my heart to speak to the students in chapel service there at the Bible College. And in thinking these past few days on sharing with you tonight, and especially this morning, as I again read these verses, asking if the Lord was really laying on my heart for tonight's service, I saw how the Lord used the word appointing Saul of Tarsus to do something. And it just began to go through me that the Lord now is ready for us to begin to ask him to prepare the appointed pastor that he is going to bring to us at Central Assembly. So as we read this tonight, we begin at verse 12 in Acts chapter 26. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. Now, before that verse, it says that in certain instances, he had helped imprison Christians and had consented to their death. In other words, he was an accomplice to the killing of Christians. That's the guy Jesus is about to say something to. What would you have said if it had been you? About noon, O King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. I feel like weeping, because I just still can't imagine the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. How much he had to forgive Saul of Tarsus for. How he would approach Saul of Tarsus with an authority over his life that said, "Saul, you have persecuted me long enough. It's time now for me to send you to do something. You didn't believe that I was sending others to say anything to you, like Stephen, when you stood there as he was killed in front of you, beaten to death with stones and rocks. You didn't believe that I was sending anybody to speak to you about me, but now I'm telling you, I'm here, and I'm sending you to do something." Oh, the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. As we look at this tonight, we see that the Lord used language here about opening things up as the Apostle Paul would begin his work. One of the first things he says is, "I'm sending you to open people's eyes." That's another way of saying to open their minds, to give them understanding, to show them something that they can see. "I'm sending you to open people's eyes. I'm sending you to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." what kind of confidence Jesus put in this man, that he would be an instrument in the hands of God to turn people away from the kingdom of darkness, to bring them to the light of God, like the light that was shining around Saul of Tarsus, to bring them out of a kingdom of darkness under the power of Satan and set them free to come into the kingdom and receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus said. Don't you think Jesus is the greatest power on earth? To do that with a man who had been killing your relatives, your friends, and now to say, but you, Saul of Tarsus, are to become one who is now sent to deliver people from the power of Satan. Hallelujah! And tonight we're still feeling the effects of that meeting on the Damascus Road. And we're still reading the Word of God about what happened. Opening people's eyes, open minds. This relates to me that a pastor will come to us under divine appointment. The same Jesus who said to this man, Saul of Tarsus, I'm appointing you, is saying to some man somewhere tonight or soon, I'm appointing you to Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 says, Jesus sets pastors in the church. So I have another word on that. Jesus appoints the pastor for a church. And there's a pastor tonight that's coming under appointment to Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri. Jesus knows just what we're like and who we need to lead us in the next steps following the Spirit of the Lord. And so, in a sense of open eyes, opening minds, the appointment of the Lord for one to come who will again bring words from the Lord to our hearts that will open faith and open our minds to greater things in God for the present and the future steps ahead, just as we've enjoyed under the leadership of Brother Bradford in the last 6 years. Open eyes, open minds. Secondly, there came onto my heart the thought of, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, of opening hearts. Open eyes or open minds. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It is said of Lydia in the 16th chapter of Acts, in verse 14, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. That's a language that's not used very often in the New Testament about someone who's a sinner who gets saved. But it says there about Lydia, and we know that she was a listening, she had a listening ear for the word of God that Paul was speaking in that experience. And so something that God saw about her was translated into this language of that verse in Acts 16, verse 14. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. So when God does his work of appointment, there was the work of opening eyes that the Lord said, I'm sending you for, Saul. And then it says, when Saul got there where Lydia was, the Lord opened her heart as he spoke and as he ministered. The Lord's appointment for us as a pastor will also be one that the Spirit of the Lord uses to open people's hearts. God wants to open hearts of people who will be saved, who will hear the gospel under our pastor, who will hear the word of God in the services that are ministered in the church, who will hear him when he speaks at other events in the city or in personal ways outside the four walls of the church. I am appointing you, pastor, to be there at Central Assembly, that hearts will be opened. Open eyes or open minds and open hearts. Thirdly, in Colossians chapter 4, I found this. Verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. So now the Apostle Paul is praying, and we understand he was in prison for Christ when he wrote the words of the book of Colossians. I believe that's right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Is that right, Dr. Harris? The prison epistles? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I think that's right. Not Galatians. Philemon. Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Out of this experience he was having as a prisoner now of the Lord, and you almost have to sit back and chuckle and say, Paul, you got what you deserve. Now you're in jail. No, can't say that. Sorry. But I wanted to say it anyway. The guy who killed Christians. But we can't feel that way. We have to leave that up to Jesus. He let him go to prison. He worked through him in prison. He reached the Romans while Paul was in prison. So here's Paul asking us to pray, asking the church to pray. And our pastor who's coming will ask us to pray. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, when we pray for this last need on our prayer sheet in a few moments tonight, praying for the search committee that's meeting tonight at this time in the office of the church, we'll be praying that the person that they finally talk with that can't get away from Jesus' appointment will also find in that person's heart then this prayer, and they will begin to want us to pray as a church. Pray that if this is the will of God, that this door will be opened to them. So we've talked tonight about the opening of the eyes through the Apostle Paul, the opening of the minds of people, the opening of the heart, as happened with Lydia, the opening of the mind, the opening of the heart, the opening of doors, and then there's one more. And that's from the Old Testament. So it's not exactly from Paul's life, but it applies to us at this time. Isaiah 45, verse 8. You heavens above, and I think the King James Version says, open, O heavens, and rain down righteousness. Open, O heavens, and rain down righteousness. Let the cloud shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. When I read that again this morning, it sounded to me like the language of Joel's prophecy when he said, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And verse 28, I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The opening of the heavens, raining righteousness, the opening of the heavens for the Spirit of the Lord to be poured out in greater measure. The opening of the heavens for righteousness to spring forth. The opening of the heavens for salvation to come to people, it says. And that chapter goes on to say, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, of course, in Joel 2. This prophetic word, may it be such that the Lord laid it on my heart heavily for tonight, that he is saying to us, the pastor I appoint for you will be one that also comes under my appointment to have minds and hearts opened, to see the open door, and to have the heavens opened for the outpouring of my Spirit. So that's what I felt tonight summarized our prayers at the end of this service, is for God to bring it to pass like he wants to do. Saul of Tarsus, I have appointed you to serve me in this way. Pastor for Central Assembly, I am appointing you to serve me in this way. And at the right time and at the right moment, God will help us to have that confirmed to us as a congregation. So as we close now, I'd like for Glenda to help us that we may sing, Come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet Spirit, I pray, come in your fullness, come in your own special way. I think we ought to stand together, you know, and just open ourselves up to sing this from the depths of our heart, and may it come from the depths of our spirit as the Lord moves among us right now and confirm his word to us by the Spirit. Father, have your way now as we enter in this way into worship in this song, and as you would have us to receive your answers tonight, and especially your answer for the appointed one for our church. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Confirmation of the anointing that you have upon the one who will come. To give them the confirmation of the appointment of the one whom you are appointing. And then to give all of us in the congregation that assurance, that peace about it, that confirmation about it. It seems, Lord, that we should also pray against anything that the enemy would seek to do to bring confusion or to hinder the plan of God. For in the name of Jesus, freedom by the grace of God, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. May we as a congregation be free indeed, O Lord, from any hindrance to your appointed one to lead this church, free from any doubt or fear or unbelief, because of faith and assurance of your anointing and of your appointment, we sense when that happens, So, Lord, as we lay this before the throne of God tonight together, we know that it's more than two or three of us agreeing on these scriptures. The same Lord Jesus Christ appoints pastors for churches today. And we are calling upon the Lord to appoint our pastor for us, to us. We're calling upon the Lord to give us open minds and open hearts, to give our new pastor the open door in God's timing and God's way. So thank you, Lord, tonight for those who've yielded themselves to be on the search committee, for those who desire to do a good work for this church. And we ask that there continue to be upon them an anointing of the Lord for the place that they've been called to serve in. That you will be glorified, Lord Jesus, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, because you have ordained that the church shall be victorious and have power against the plans or designs that originate in the gates of hell. Jesus, you are Lord. And we've observed again tonight how you met a man who was so against you and your people. But you met him with a call, and you met him with an assurance that his life was being changed and transformed. We don't know what our pastor will have to see as change and moving and transformation or whatever. But you can do it again, Lord. You can bring him that assurance. And you can give that assurance and that peace that it's your hand at work, Lord, and your appointment and your will. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're knowing you better and we see the way you are and our confidence is in you. All glory and praise to you, O Lamb of God. Praise to you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the move of your spirit. You are powerful, all-knowing, all-present. So we put our confidence in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, let that assurance continue to build in your people, Lord, that as you are in control and you are ordaining the steps of good people, ordered of the Lord, that you will show us the righteousness of God poured out upon us. Hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.